The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Mike Peterson of KMA in Shenandoah and Carol Hunter of the Des Moines Register. Mike, can you start us off with a question for Senator Grassley?
Senator, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said today that the Border Patrol has experienced a 50% drop in encounters since Title 42 ended Thursday at midnight. Is this an indication that the steps taken to ease the situation at the U.S.-Mexican border since Title 42 ended last week are working?
I think we'll have to wait a few days to make that determination. I read the same thing you did. I heard what he said over the weekend, and I believe that they're down some, but that's because that there was a big influx of people that thought they wanted to get in before the May 11th deadline. And so I think we're just going to have to wait before I can draw that conclusion. There are people who work for the Border Patrol or in former administrations that I heard on TV over the weekend that think that it's not a permanent downturn in the number of people that are going to come into the country. Carol?
Hello, Senator. I just wanted to follow up. You've been pressing long and hard for release of the whistleblower's document regarding allegations of bribery between then Vice President Biden and a foreign national. Has there been any movement on that front?
We got a 5 or 6 page letter that said two things that are very important, but we didn't get the document yet. And two things that they said is that there is such a document existing. They didn't question their information that we got from our credible whistleblowers. And secondly, they said that it was unclassified, which I said and made very clear, and that's the main reason we should have had it last Wednesday. But they sent this letter. Now, what we're trying to say is this is very much a subset of everything you've been hearing from me or Johnson over the last 2.5 years on Hunter Biden, as well as it's a subset of whatever the House of Representatives, Congressman Comer, has said about things where they use subpoena and got a lot more documents than Johnson and I could get. But we have a credible whistleblower that said the FBI possesses an unclassified FBI-generated document that implicates then Vice President Biden in criminal schemes. I can't say anything about criminal schemes because I don't know. And my focus isn't on the vice president right now. My focus is on the FBI. What did they do with the document? And did they follow up on it and investigate it from a credible source that the FBI relies upon? Did they sweep it under the rug like they did several things that had political bias in regard to their investigations? And I could give you an example of Tebow, a person that's no longer with the FBI that Ray got rid of when I brought it to his attention, but that would take too long on a 10-minute call. So I'll go back to Mike, and then we'll go to Carol for a second question.
Senator, what was your reaction to the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling last week backing Proposition 12 in California as far as how swine for pork production is treated coming into the state? What kind of an impact do you think this is going to have on pork producers in Iowa?
It's going to be very detrimental, and I think it's going to be not the same way I would interpret the Commerce Clause of the Constitution and power and Congress's power to regulate it, but the Supreme Court decision is binding at this point. Senator Marshall had a bill in last time that Senator Ernst and I co-sponsored with him that would overrule Proposition 12 of California. Obviously, it didn't get passed. I assume with this decision, he's going to introduce it again, and I'm very much in favor of doing that. We're thankful that we can pass a law and correct this injustice that the Justice Department had brought. By the way, just an editorial comment, there's an odd combination of liberals and conservatives that said California could do that, and there was an odd combination of liberals and conservatives that said that they didn't have the power to do it. Back to Carol.
Senator, you and Senator Booker have introduced a bill to reform CRP to decrease enrollment of prime farmland and increase enrollment of erodible land. Are you also looking at trying to target more enrollment in programs like CREP and Clear 30 to steer even more dollars to marginal lands like river corridors and also have longer enrollments like 30 years?
Yeah. I don't know how far our legislation goes beyond just covering grass waterways and filter strips along the edges of fields. It may go as far as you said in some other areas, but I would say that this is fine-tuning of CRP. It would reduce the number of allowable acres from 28 million, which I don't think we have 28 million in, down to 24 million, and it would emphasize doing environmentally fragile land. And it would also involve whole farms not going in, and it would reduce the 85% of average cash rent for that county that the federal government can pay to the federal or pay to the landowner to get land into CRP down to 75. The idea is we don't want the federal government being an unfair competitor to the cash renter, the family farmer, and we've heard some of that conflict that we're trying to take care of. Mike?
Yes. Today, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy said the Republicans and the Democrats are still far apart on debt ceiling negotiations. From your standpoint, what sort of cuts in federal spending do you and others in the Republican side of the Senate support in order to reach a deal on the debt ceiling before the deadline?
I'll give you a couple principles that I have. I'm not sure to what extent I think the House bill would fall within my parameters, although they say it a little different way. Anything that was funded at pre-pandemic levels, and then there was a whole bunch of money spent because of the pandemic, now that the public health emergency is over, we should go back to that level of 2020, March of 2020, and add to it inflation plus population growth, and start with there to do that, and that's where I would start. The other one is a more basic principle that we're relying upon the Federal Reserve System to get inflation under control, and they're raised interest rates to do that. We shouldn't be spending money that feeds the fires of inflation to be counterproductive to the Federal Reserve. Right now, I'd have to say the Senate's not so involved in this. This is between the House and Biden. And hopefully they reach an agreement so that we pay our keep funding the government. Well, I shouldn't say funding the government. That's an appropriation issue. We shouldn't have a default. Carol, yours is the last question.
Senator, many Central Iowans were out to visit you last week, leaders of the Greater Des Moines Partnership. One of their requests is for more funding to close the gap for the Des Moines International Airport Terminal Project. Are you hopeful about being part of getting that funding for the terminal? Or will that be more difficult because of the emphasis now on cutting government spending?
I think that if you're asking about a special appropriation for that would be an earmark. That would be, at least in the Senate, I think the House has a different view of earmarks than the Senate does, but that's something that since 2010 we haven't had in the Senate earmarks. But we do have the issue of increasing the passenger fee for everybody that flies, and that's a very controversial thing because the airlines are fighting it. Now, there's one other thing that I have done. The infrastructure bill has grants in it from time to time for the Des Moines Airport, and I sent a letter of support for that grant. So thank all of you very much for participating. Goodbye.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mike and Carol, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.